The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. It's Dr. Dave's, Dr. Dave's devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches there's a time to laugh. Apparently, there's supposed to be a time to talk, too. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, before this show would be fantastic. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Notice that's the only line I don't make a mistake on. There's something wrong with that. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? I have no idea. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. We just don't care about that. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk Jesus with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there, here it is. Ooh, a tough one. Who is the person that you want Jesus to reach the most? Think about that person. Who is the person that you want Jesus to reach the most? And then I'll throw this in there. Are you praying daily for that? If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness, because that's sad. Just give us a call. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like a peaceful day and evening with no drama. A peaceful day and evening with no drama. I would pay for that.
I would too. Thank you, David. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, my friend. It just want to make sure people know how to get in touch with them. We'll get to the person on the phone. So we just kind of coordinate it all. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you can call us. You know that. You can also text us live. So it doesn't matter whether you're in San Diego, where it's right now. I think it's 11:30. I'm stalling. 5. It's 11:35 right now in San Diego. It's 12:35 in Denver, 1:35 in Dallas, 2:35 in Detroit. Nobody knows what time it is on the moon. I guess it depends on where you are. And the bottom line is you can reach out to us by call, or you can text us 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. That's the number to call, right? But if you want to text, is texting okay? Yes, live during the show, 214-210-8483. Listen to what I said. When you want to text, 214-210-8483.
214-210-8483. Thank you.
And then additionally, you can send an email throughout the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, at hemustincrease from John 330.org, because we're a nonprofit, Corporation. Here's the bottom line. You reach out to us. We will pray for you, or you can share a prayer request or anything like that. We do have somebody on the line. I have no idea what's going on. We'll just have to find out what the Lord has in mind. He hasn't told me. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. Good afternoon, Sergio.
Hello, my brother, Sergio. How are you? You know, I thought of you this week. I got to just tell you before you say it, because I'm reading Deuteronomy, and I thought, boy, when Sergio gets to this, that's all I thought.
how far is that from Exodus, by the way?
So once you're done with Exodus, then you're going to do Leviticus. I'm going to give you a little encouragement on Leviticus, okay? It's a lot of ceremonial law. It's a lot of law. You'll kind of feel like you're being an attorney for a little bit, but you should read it. You should read every bit of it. There's so many great things in there that people kind of go by really fast because it's a little drier. They talk about mold and how to handle the mold. I mean, it's all like that. You got to get through that. And then you're going to go through Numbers, and that's a little more history and a lot of fun, okay? A little bit of a chronological stuff, but a lot of fun. And then you get to Deuteronomy. When you get to Deuteronomy, you're going to be like going, okay. I just know what's going to come for you. You're going to be like, I have a question about this. I have a question about this. But that's all right. That's what we're here for.
I think, like I've said always, David, you've been a part of this journey with me since, I don't know, 2-3 years ago now. And I look forward to reading the Bible now. And when I do, and that's the reason why I'm calling, because I got a question, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for. If I can't answer it, then I'll tell you I got to do a research on it. I'm honest about it. So I kind of know but don't know. Or if I know, I'll just share it with you the best I can. So that's what we do.
You're good. So so like I said, I'm in Exodus.
Okay.
And like I mentioned to you a couple of phone calls ago already, that I'm just in amazement that I'm reading God, you know, not Jesus Christ, but the Father's quotes, right? Like,
uh-huh.
He's actually talking to Moses and Aaron. And my question to you is, so if God is omniscient and he knows everything that happens before it actually happens, why was it so many times that Pharaoh's heart got hardened? So that's my question. And lastly, this is kind of like a weird question. So what was the deal with the magicians back then?
I gotcha.
In that part of the book. So I'll let you go. Have a great weekend. Thank you for all you do. And I guess all you got to do is just watch the Super Bowl this weekend. Have a good weekend, David.
Well, that's all I can do. Noel's working 12-hour shifts 3 days in a row, so I'll be watching by myself. So anyway, that's another brilliant question. This, I'm telling you guys, you have to listen. If you follow the progress in Sergio's life, you can verbatim, you can see the Holy Spirit moving in these increments in his life, teaching him. It's just so great. And not just him, all of us. And so the Lord's using him to bless us and to kind of like, you know, coordinate. So let's go back to this and let's answer this question. Okay, so what Sergio's asking is, okay, so if God already knows what Pharaoh's going to do, how come he then tells Moses what to say to Pharaoh, and then at the same time, God's hardening his heart? Okay, so how does that work? That's number one. And then number two, what's the dealios on the magicians? Okay, and that's another excellent question. So let's deal with the fact that God has Moses and Aaron talk to Pharaoh multiple times, but God is hardening his heart. Here's the ticket that will always help everybody understand Scripture when you're in the midst of it, okay? Listen to what I'm going to say. God is omniscient and knows everything. People are not. The Lord knows what's going to happen, but he's most of the time, and let me just say way high percentage, 99% of the time, not telling, although he does do some prophecies that he does tell people what's going to take place. But what takes place is Moses and Pharaoh are going through this interaction. God knows exactly what's going to happen, but Pharaoh is going to reject it. And you're thinking, but it doesn't seem fair. We've used this same word before, just so you can understand. And maybe you should appreciate how much God loves you when I tell you this. That's too bad. And when you say, well, wait a minute, that's not fair. That's too bad. God has a perfect justice system, way past our justice system. And there's a reason, let me just say this real quickly, there's a reason that God is operating the way he's operating with Pharaoh. And I will say this, and I think it's something that people have severely missed, especially people who are secular and don't have a clue who God is. Some of the arguments are that, well, if God is so merciful, then how come he had all the Egyptians, the firstborn, killed? I'll tell you why, because for hundreds of years, Egypt was killing all of the male people that were in Israel. And so they only had one day of the taste of what they've been doing for hundreds of years. That's pretty merciful if you compare it to, if you compare it on a scale. But what the Lord knows is going to happen is not always what he's telling. And what he's doing is his purposes will be fulfilled. And because of that, you know, Moses goes and says, well, you should do this, you should do this, you should let us go. And Pharaoh goes, no, no, not going to let you go. No, no, I'm going to send these plagues. No, no. And all of that is so that God can testify to humanity and to the universe that he is in charge. And he's got a people he's chosen. And nobody and no other gods will stand in the way, because his purposes will be accomplished. But Moses doesn't know all the full breakdown. He just knows the Lord's with him. The people don't know what's going to happen. In fact, when the people got to the Red Sea, they were all like going, oh, no, we're going to perish. They thought that was it. But they were wrong. God knew all along what he was going to do. They didn't. Now, Moses was a little more connected to the Lord, so he just knew the Lord was going to deliver him, although I'm not sure the Lord told him, I'm going to split it down the middle. You people are going to walk along dry land, not even muddy land, dry land. Very cool, right? I mean, that's just a very cool thing. So that's what it is God's determined, God's predestination is how he's operating, but he's not telling everybody, and mankind doesn't know, which is why when people go, well, I'm not going to witness because their people are already determined, you know, who's going to get saved and who's not going to get saved. Well, first of all, you don't know who that is. Second of all, you're commanded to witness. And third, you're just having an attitude and you better repent. Because that attitude is, I'm not going to do this, even though God told me to do it. I mean, it's like God's not telling people who's going to get saved, who's not going to get saved. He's telling you what to do. He just knows. And one of my favorite lines from one of my favorite authors, Gene Edwards, who wrote Letters to a Devastated Christian, he said, God knows, he's just not telling. It's so good. That's number one. So, Sergio, I hope that helps you a little bit. God had it set up. His plan was going to be fulfilled. Nobody, no thing was going to get in his way, but it still had to play out in the human play of existence. Back to the Egyptians real quickly. Let's not misunderstand this. There are dark arts. There are magical elements that happen. There are things that take place that Satan's connected to and demons are connected to. And the magicians were valid. They weren't invalid. They were real people doing real dark magic. But as we said just the other day, the difference is the snake that God created from the stick ate the snake that the Egyptian pharaohs or the Egyptian magicians created. And so God's power always prevails against the dark power. That's why the snake from God ate up the snake from the magicians. The other part about that is they can only go so long, and they, as you read it, you find out they go a certain amount of time where they're doing the same thing, doing the same thing, doing the same thing, until they get to a point where it's like, okay, that's it, because they said, nope, we can't do this. This is beyond our power. This is truly God. And then there again is a witness from God through even the people who are operating in dark magic going, this is way past us. We don't have, well, and that's just God testifying to whom God is yet once again. So in a short summary recap, Sergio and everybody else who's listening, God hardened Pharaoh's heart because he was going to get Israel, he was going to walk Israel through this process and show them miracle after miracle after miracle. And he was going to use a people that were brutal to the children of Israel to get it accomplished, because they would not obey, they would not yield. God said, nope, we're going to do it this way, and I'm going to show you my power. Israel, then, you would think, well, gosh, does that mean that Israel was just highly favored above everybody else? Yes, that's exactly what it means. And so are you, because it's not flesh and blood that's revealed to you about salvation, but it's your Father in heaven that's made it known to you that Jesus Christ is Lord. You are highly favored. And in fact, when you get to Deuteronomy, you find out that the Lord says you are highly favored, chosen. Special possession is used 6 times in Deuteronomy. You're my special possession. That's what the Lord says of his people. So he always with them, always protects them, does it his way. We might be, well, I don't like the way God does it. Again, we'll just go back to that. Tough. When you become God, you can determine how that works. But until then, sit down, shut up, and be quiet. Or shut up, sit down, and be quiet. Either way. And the idea behind that's not to be rude, is to say, hey, there needs to be some humility amongst mankind. We don't tell God what to do. We don't tell God how to do things. We yield. He has a perfect justice, a perfect wisdom, a perfect insight, because he's the only one, listen to this, who has all knowledge. Therefore, he's the only one that can perfectly judge anything. Do you understand that? That's huge, right? All right, that's just to get us rolling. We have so much fun. But Sergio, I hope that's helpful. Hope that's a blessing for you, brother. If you have further up questions or follow-up questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me. In the meantime, we'll take a breath. And we'll do this trivia question. In the book of Genesis, who was translated, carried up, taken up, gone, goodbye? One day is there, one day is not. What is it, Elijah, Noah, or Enoch? Elijah, Noah, or Enoch? Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. In the book of Genesis, who was translated? So that's the older King James Version. It's not an incorrect version by any means. It's really, really helpful for people to understand that he was transformed, translated. You know, think of the Mount of Transfiguration. That's helpful. Whoever that was it Elijah? Was it Noah? Or was it Enoch? Your answer in Genesis 5:24. So you have to think about this. This is not going up in a whirlwind, right? This is different. This is being translated. Like think of Star Trek. Okay. Yes. How many people teach the Bible using Star Trek? Probably not that many. Think of Star Trek and the transporter. That's what you got to think of. Transported. That's the way. Does that help? Okay. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So before we take the caller, we're going to send you up to the website. Why are we doing that? Because we need money. Do you want to say it differently? Oh, please, we need money. Okay, forget that. Just give if you can give. Don't worry about it if you can. Don't stress. Never think you have to give to participate. Ever, ever, ever. That's never the case. But if the Lord puts it on your heart, participate with us and give. That'd be great. If not, don't worry. But we're not going to give you a donut or, what's my new favorite line? I'm not giving you a whistle. Special whistle that says, I gave. Then I get one of those. What you are getting is a receipt at the end of the year. That's all you get. Okay? Deuteronomy 15:10, give generously to the needy and do not let your heart be grieved when you do so. And because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything to which you put your hands. Check it all out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Now, I'm not saying that movie's in my future this weekend, but that movie might be in my future this weekend. I'm just saying. Okay. Now, before we pick up the caller and have the caller come through, I just want to say nice job, Deb. She made a nice quick recovery. Just real fast. All right. Send the caller through. Let's do that. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Rito in San Diego. Told you I would be calling you back.
How you doing, man? How is it? Wait, is it wet still there, or are you guys drying out yet?
We're in the middle. We're in the process.
Okay.
Just like we all are in the process of sanctification. Wouldn't you say that?
Amen, brother. That is so true. That is the process we're in right now. That's it, brother. That is it.
Hey, so I just wanted to share my thoughts in the conversation.
Sure.
You know? I mean, basically, we do need to understand that there is a position.
Yes.
And God is the master, and we are position as his servants and his followers at first. But then we come to realize through the word of God that he is our Father, our Savior, the Almighty, and we are his and his sons or daughters. You know, and it takes courage to step away from the denial position and jump into experiencing God.
It does take courage. You know what it is? It takes courage to surrender.
Exactly.
I mean, that is really what you get to, because then, and I tell me how you feel about this, because this would be one of my big areas that I have to come to the Lord on a regular basis in. Then I can't control it. And it's like, I got to let this plan out. I got to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding.
Exactly. You know what? I got this message through social media, and I love it. And it was actually sent by one of my mentors. He said, God has asked us to trust in him, not to understand him.
That's excellent. That is excellent, because there's no way that finite can totally inhale the infinite. It just cannot.
Exactly.
It cannot happen.
We're so limited, but then we think we're not, because this is what we have.
Yeah.
And this is what we know, you know. So anyways, I just wanted to say hi to the crew. Thank you for your show, and God bless to all of you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem.
God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye. All right, outstanding. Don't you love it? You see, this is just the family of God. And, oh, come on. This is like the best stuff in the world. I'm sorry, it's the best stuff in the world. I can't help you. It's the best stuff in the world. Okay, so, and just what he said, just what Rico said, listen to what that part is. You need to trust him. You're not going to fully get everything. One of the great, there's a great saying, and I'll be careful not to give it too much theological bump, but I love the picture that I'm going to share, and that is the mystery between what the Lord declares and then man's free will. Because it's kind of like a really cool, if you catch it, it's really cool, because God operates outside of time. Therefore, you know, it's a whole other plane. But in Bible college in the beginning, they would say, you walk through the door, and the door on the very front of the door says, anyone who desires may come in, right? And then you walk through the door. And then when you get through the door and you look back, the top of the other door says, chosen before the foundation of the earth. So that's that tension between you make a decision, and then also that decision is in connection to God's ordination. It's just a great image or a picture, if you can kind of put it in there. What it should tell us is, when we're going through our trials, some of our struggles, some of our I would say frustrating moments, there's a lot of times where I'll just use this because I love it, where you have to think about the feeding of the 5,000 men besides the women and children, and this is just appropriate, and then Jesus tells all the people to do what? He tells them all to what? Sit down. You see how smart God is? Hey, sit down. Right? Just sit down. Because there's such a desire to run it, right? So, you know, there's different songs that really play into this, but, you know, it's helpful to understand, we won't go into this too deeply, but it's helpful to understand that technically you're a vapor, right? Have you ever had one of those air purifiers? You ever see that vapor mist that comes out of an air purifier, right? Or that kind of thing? That's what you are. So apart from God, not happening. So that's just a great way, a great call, and a great way for us to understand it. So what we need to grasp is, look, you know what you're going through, how you don't understand it? That's okay. Because if we trust the Lord with all of our heart, which, by the way, encompasses, all of our heart, which means no crevices on the side. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on our own understanding. It's not that you have no understanding. It's not that you never use understanding. It's just that your understanding and my understanding is insufficient. So we don't lean on our understanding. It's not our evaluation that determines what's right or wrong, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. How many? All. You know, there's so many alls in the scripture. They're in all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your paths clear. Okay. Then that is how we should approach it, right? Okay. All right. Let's go back to the triv question. Don't forget about what I said about Star Trek and transportation. You know how the transporter. I mean, that's a great illustration. Who in the book of Genesis, who was transported? Was it Elijah, Noah, or Enoch? Genesis 5:24. The answer is Enoch was translated. I always thought it was funny because I thought he went out to paint the side of the barn and his wife went, Enoch, 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 and he was gone. Okay. All right, if you're in San Diego or if you're in Denver or if you're in Detroit, go to hemusincrease.org to keep listening. If you're in Dallas, hang out. We're going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere. Destroying
everyone. What is the David Spoon experience?
Isaiah chapter 63, verse 8 through 9 says this. He said, surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed. So I want to make sure you understand, we've talked about this before, you've heard some of my testimony. If you want to really get a better handle on my testimony, I'll shamelessly plug the Broken for His Glory book, which contains the testimony, but you can get it for free if you do it through Kindle, and then otherwise it's like $7 or something. Oh, that's not very much. It's a kind of a fascinating journey on becoming saved and then going through bad churches. Or a bad church, and then coming back into good church, right? That's not always easy to do. One of the big premises of the book and of my entire Christian journey is a passage like this, which says, he said, surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their savior. And in all their distress, he too was distressed. I think it's important for you and I to understand the level to which God has put himself or placed himself. He's not incomplete without us in the theological term that God can exist completely independently and doesn't need us, but he bears with us or connects to us in such a way that he feels with us. And so I think it's important for you and I to grasp that when Paul was on the road to Damascus, and then the Lord appears to him, right? And we've talked about this before, you know, knocks him off his donkey and blinds him, okay? Now you just have to imagine you're on a donkey, bam-o, you're on the ground, okay? Okay, not on a comfy table or a comfy chair or a comfy bed, on the ground, and you're blind. So this is a real wake-up call. And then Jesus says to him, Saul, before he becomes Paul, you know, why are you persecuting me? And what does Paul say, Saul say? He says, who are you? Right? Because this is like, you know, this is, you know, outer limits stuff right here. And then Jesus goes, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. But the irony behind that is that Jesus made the identification with the church because Saul was persecuting the church. But Jesus goes, I'm the one you're persecuting. Now see how he connects himself to the people.